3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah, and we're recording. All right. Well, welcome, everyone.
Hello.
To the podcast that you're listening to right now, which is episode 32. By the way, you guys are surprised. I looked that up to see which number it was. Episode 32 of Eat, Drink, and Be Scary, where we talk about scary stuff, why we eat and drink things related to it. And I guess before we go into what we're going to talk about tonight, even though you've already read the title and you know what it's about, we're eating angel hair pasta, and we're eating...
And phantom wine.
And phantom wine, and I picked the wine, and it'll make sense after why it's phantom wine. By the way, if you... I haven't tried it. I'm going to try it right now. I'm taking my first drink of phantom wine. Brought to you by phantom wine. Hold on.
Not actually.
Yeah, by brought to, I mean that they went to Trader Joe's, brought wine there, and I bought it. That's all right. It's got a weird aftertaste to it. Actually, have you tried it yet? And then, Tom, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking something called Lemonade and Tea by Incline Cider Company. And I bought it because the people that are inclined to believe the subject we're talking about generally come from one.
That's such a stretch.
Yeah. It works. There's a way around there.
Ryan?
Mountain Dew.
So, because...
that's mountains, what he always mountains, drinks.
It has dew on it. And that's okay, and that's fine. So, angel hair pasta and fan of stuff. And, Tanya, what are we talking about today?
You said that right, I took a bite.
That was divine intervention.
That was. Oh, and now we know, Ryan just said. Ryan, what are we talking about?
Divine intervention.
And how so? Well, let's talk a little bit. I think everybody kind of has an idea of what it is, and I think we all have our own stories about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe you should go first. Do you want to tell your little story, your divine intervention story?
Well, my story isn't so much about me, but someone in my family who, he was a nurse, and he was driving down the highway one day and noticed that there was this car driving all over the road in front of him, and they end up crashing into the guardrail and pulling over, and he, being a nurse, pulled up behind them and realized that the woman in the car was having a heart attack. And the car that pulled up behind him was a guy who was a traveling defibrillator salesman. So he actually grabbed the defibrillator and saved this woman's life because he was just in the right place at the right time. And to me, that's pretty divine. You know, that's either a huge coincidence or someone wanted that woman alive. So.
Okay, I was going to hold it in, but I know it's a true story. But also, it's got to be one of those coincidence stories. And the reason you're hearing it...
That's one hell of a coincidence, though.
But you don't hear about the other... Ten times in his life that he saw an accident.
Oh, and he pulled up behind him and the woman was having a heart attack.
Or the 500 times that day there was an accident and, like, the guy that pulls behind him, like, was a car salesman and the other one was, like...
The guy who did statistics?
Yeah, he was an accountant. I'm dying and I need you to do my taxes before you die. Oh, my God. Thank God you're an accountant.
No, all he does is go, -1.
That's it. You're deductible because you're dead.
Deducted.
Okay, so that's it.
No, I agree with you there. And I'm going to actually talk about that when it comes to the discussion about divine intervention. It's exactly the topic that you mentioned. So who else has one, Tom?
Well, I've got a couple, but there's a couple ways to go with this. So I think the first one I would do is almost like a light divine intervention in the way of almost like answered questions. So my dad... used to be an avid motorcycle rider, hadn't been one for probably 20 plus years, and then decided for some reason to get on a bike that was like the size of a Honda CB350. And if you're not a motorcyclist, that's a motorcycle that's about the size of your generic beach cruiser with a tiny motor stuck to it. And he got on there, and he's riding it back and forth on the highway. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad's, you know, nearly 300 pounds, hasn't ridden in a while, is probably pretty rusty, and I started getting really worried about him to the point where it was just taking over my whole train of thought. So I just kind of threw one up there, and I said, hey, take care of my dad, let me know he's safe, I'm worried. And literally within 5 minutes, I was just driving around on a route I had for the dry cleaner, and he was right there. He had stopped to buy a wrench to tighten up his rearview mirror because it was shaking too much, and like literally within 5 minutes of me saying that, I saw my dad, got to ease my prayer, ease my worries. It was kind of neat. So I don't know if that really counts as a divine intervention, but when you're talking about putting something out there you want to change and then receiving that change on the basic level. I think that is the definition. So, Bill.
All right. He's like, I was eating.
Well,
stretch it out.
No. I mean, so, I've told this story actually before in this podcast. And it's one of those things that it's one of those, like, was it divine intervention or was it, which I can go into after, which I'll tell my story first, and then I'll tell you afterwards what I think is the possibility of this. I don't know what year it was, but I was driving down the road with my son in a truck that was not mine. I was actually helping a dealer who bought a car at an auction, and I was driving it back for him. It was just a friend of mine. And my son was in the passenger seat, in a car seat. It was a two-seat truck. It was a Nissan truck. I don't know if that matters. If Nissan wants to send us money for telling that story, I'm fine with that. Since I don't think Phantom's going to say anything, since I said their wine didn't taste good. And I had probably gone on that drive at that point maybe 50 times. I knew that road very, very well. And it was late at night. Got a later start than I wanted to. I was really, really tired. And I fell asleep while driving. And I suddenly had somebody scream in my ear, my name, as loud as the reality is somebody screamed in my ear. Like if somebody came up to me right now and screamed in my ear, that is how loud that was. And it startled me, and I looked up, and I was seconds away from hitting a concrete barrier that divided the highway.
Wow.
And I turned really quick and got out of and made it. And, of course, at that point, I was pretty awake, and the two-hour drive, I went home driving fine and not falling asleep anymore. And it was one of those things that's like, that seems so weird to me, but that right then, hearing somebody scream in my ear while I was just barely asleep, but asleep behind the wheel with my son in the car.
Wow.
Was it a voice you recognized at all?
I don't know. I mean, no, that's not anything that ever registered with me that I knew the voice. It was a thing. And I had a lot of thought about that one. A lot. And of course, maybe I overthunk it. And maybe that's where I've come to the conclusion I'm at now, which I'm not going to go into because I'm going to let Tanya tell her story of divine intervention. I will say I'm a firm believer of what is meant to be happens. And that kind of falls into fate. So I believe in fate because it makes me feel more comfortable in my decisions. So in a situation where you want something to happen and it doesn't happen, and I will give you an example of the dog at my foot right now. I have a dog named Tracker. She's a 10-month-old little half border collie, half blue heeler. She just got spayed today, and she's a giant mess, and she hates me, but she's still at my feet because she kind of loves me. I tried to get probably 6 dogs before her, and every time I tried, something happened or didn't happen. And I took it as, well, that wasn't meant to be. I'd see a dog on social media because a friend who worked at a kennel made it and wanted it to happen. Worked there. And she said, here's a picture of a dog. And I would reach out and I go, listen, tell me what's going on with that dog. She goes, oh, well, we got to watch it overnight and then tomorrow. I said, okay, if that dog's still there tomorrow, let me know. Dog would be gone. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. I don't know. This dog that at my feet right now, Tracker, was not easy to get. It took a bit of work. But also, I realized this is the dog that it was meant to be. So that's going to that. You say, well, like a job. I tried to get a job, and I didn't get it. So that was meant to be. This is the job I did get. It was meant to be. This relationship didn't work out. That was meant to be. I'm a big believer in that and accepting my own fate and understanding it's just the chain of thought. It's just the chain of thought. Now, is it because somebody's standing over my shoulder hitting buttons? I don't know. And that's... I know we're going deep into divine intervention, and I'm skipping ahead, and I'm not telling you how I decipher my story yet, but I am going to now go to Tanya, who's going to, I think, almost unchewing. And she just showed me the inside of her mouth, and she's unchewing. So, Tanya, it's to you.
So, I sort of have two. The first one was when I was in high school. We lived in a very, very small town in New Mexico, and a lot of the sports teams that we played were, you know, an hour to 2 hours away. So pretty much every single weekend, the team would get in the van, we would all drive out. You know, it's usually right after school, everyone rush, get ready, get loaded, get out. And that's just week after week, just that's just how it went. And one week, everyone was just kind of dinking around, taking their time. Like, we had a same time schedule as always. We were probably almost 2 hours behind schedule, but no one really seemed bothered by it. And everyone was like, let's get going. We need to go. It was just kind of like, oh, like, we'll just get going when we get going. And we finally get to our destination, and they asked us if we had trouble with traffic or if we got caught in anything. We're like, no, we didn't really notice anything. They're like, well, there was a huge car pileup, and a lot of people died. And the time that it happened, which we found out later after talking to a bunch of different people, the time that it happened was the time that we would have been going through that exact area. And the fact that we were always so punctual, always rushing and hustling to get there, to have one really weird day. And we were even talking about how weird it was that we were just all kind of really lazily getting up and going to this. And it was really strange hearing that. I mean, I guess you don't really think about it. Like, man, I'm glad we missed it. But to have something so out of the ordinary kind of happen like that. And my other story is, I don't know if it's divine intervention, but I worked at a job with the state for 11 years, dedicated for 11 years working there. Towards the end, was just not happy, not liking it, but it paid well. I had a really, really good benefits. It was too good to leave for anything else. And I got fired. Kind of shockingly out of the blue for something absolutely asinine. And I probably, if I would have gone and rebutted and sued, I would have won. But I didn't. And I'm now where I'm at, and it's the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. I never would have left that job. Something had to make me leave it.
Do you think that there was something involved in that?
I don't know. I think about it a lot, especially now, like kind of looking back. I know me. I need stability and I need structure, and I don't have that right now, but I'm happy. I had it then, but I wasn't happy. But that's just kind of how my brain works. It's like, I'm not a gambler. I don't like to hope things work. and there was really not going to be any way that I would have left the situation that I was in unless I didn't have a choice.
Something made that choice for you.
Yeah.
So, like, Bill, do you feel like that was maybe fate? Like Bill would feel. Like, do you feel like that was a fated thing for you, Tanya? Like, is it... After you're all said and done, and you're here, do you feel like it's fate that steered you there, or what was the catalyst?
I'm sorry, I just watched Bill dip some food into some other food, and you're a freaking genius.
I know. Watch this. Follow me for more recipes.
You need to carry that to the sink.
If you have something liquid, dip something into it. You'll love it.
So that kind of reminds me of another story, too. So I'll let you answer your question, then I'm going to...
Well, I don't know if I really believe in fate, because I hate feeling like I am just a character living out my story in a book where I don't get to make decisions. It's fate. I'm sure we're more in a situation that's kind of like a choose your own adventure book, because I mean that's kind of what life is.
But also in a situation like that.
But
who's choosing your adventure?
Well, I am choosing, I would like to think, but if life is a choose your own adventure, that does mean there are predetermined endings depending on what course you take.
Unless you believe in the multiverse theory, then
true.
Every action that you create creates another reaction.
No, because your reactions are just doing this, and every other one of you in the other multiverses is doing the other things.
Right. It's an iteration.
Those poor bastards.
If that was the case, it would be an insane amount of trillions of multiverses every hour just because one guy drank one time with his pinky out, and then the next time he forgot to drink with his pinky out, and that created two universes. But the two guys next to him, one guy forgot to drink, the other guy did drink, but the other guy who did drink and the other one forgot to drink, they commit. It's just an insane. The whole multiverse thing will never make any sense because there would be an unlimited amount of universes.
Because of some guy's pinky.
Because of some guy's pinky. Mm-hmm.
See, we think that though, but that's what computers do right now. Computers run an unintelligible amount of scenarios and come back with the most logical for us.
And yes, you are also under the fallacy that once these are created, that they stay created, right? Like, let's say that, you know, you've got three possibilities. Each one becomes another possibility, and when they overlap, the other two disappear.
Yeah, because so, it's very possible that one of those possibilities, the coffee kills that guy. End of it.
Okay, right so, there. But it's also presumptuous to assume that in a multi-universe that we are the main one, or we're the main line, everybody's off of us. We could be 300 trillion lines off the main one.
Right, exactly.
We could have just been because our ancient relative Neanderthal-loving Kimba
Peter Dactyl
threw a rock at another guy and then
a nice guy
living in a cave, and it missed him, so now we started another, and then that went off from that. So to assume that's pretty presumptuous to assume that we're off the main line of any sort of multiverse.
Well, I wouldn't assume that we were, but if one interaction can cause a tributary, then you would think that any interaction could. Kind of like a, if you throw three rocks into a lake, each will create its own ripple.
The amount of energy it would take for multi-universes to go off of any reaction. The fact that I didn't blink this time, but my other one, I did blink, and that created two universes. The amount of energy that would take is just insane. It doesn't make any sense. And if anybody ever tries to tell me there's multi-universes,
well, do
I
you
will
think that they have to be substantial changes?
Well, not even
oh,
that.
100. Yeah, no, I think they have to. So who's the judge and jury? Is it Judge Judy
okay,
going,
hold on, that's why I'm bringing this up.
Well, Bill's talking himself into an ideological corner. Like, you're talking about believing in fate, but then you're talking about there not being able to be many different.
I believe in accepting fate. Like, I believe in I believe in accepting fate on my own. I believe that if it maybe makes my life a little better, the same way that probably somebody leans on religion, in a sense. If the same way that somebody leans on superstition. I'm not a superstitious
But without
individual.
A multiverse, then your fate is always to choose whatever your fate was always to choose for you, right?
I think,
fate is
I
always what is supposed to happen.
It's linear. And one thing doesn't affect another. When people say, like, this decision you make now is going to affect everybody down the road, every decision ever makes, if I decide to plant a tree in the middle of a field and 400 years later somebody runs into it accidentally and gets a black eye, that's my thing. My action caused that.
So what do you think of the butterfly effect then?
I think the butterfly effect is fine, but it's linear. I think it's everything. You're correct. 100%. If I went back in time and I punched Tom in the arm when he was six, he'd have a different life right now. It'd be slightly different. And it wouldn't be horrifically different, but he'd, he'd tell a few different stories. Maybe he would have a whole other thing.
That would work
maybe
out that
I
arm.
Punched,
it'd be all buff.
Maybe because I punched him in that arm, he didn't go to school one day because his arm hurt. And maybe he missed thing in school. Maybe he missed that one friendship, that new one thing. Maybe he missed
maybe
that one thing.
Became really like giant
every,
buff and became the school bully.
Think about
and I missed bullying that one kid who was going to be the next
think
Einstein.
Think about the things that resonated in your life that you still remember today. We all know them because I throw them out all the time. I tell stories because things resonated with me. And some of those things are life-altering in a way. You hear somebody, or you do something, you see somebody do something, you read a story, you do something, and it stays with you. It resonates. Those are life-changing situations. So the butterfly effect very much is that. Think about a movie that changed your life, maybe a little tiny bit. Maybe you reflect or you identify with that character. Now think about a time that you never saw that movie. Think about a person you met in your life that I reached out to you, Ryan, because I wanted to make another ghost documentary. I reached out to you. You have changed my life. You've made my life better. I didn't email you that one day, I never would have met you, ever. Yeah.
See, I feel like that's different. Like, I feel fate is something. If you're going to talk about fate being like the end game, then I feel like making those decisions along the way to that fate would be destiny.
Okay.
Let me go real quick. You two met on a bus coming out from Missouri, right?
Yep.
You guys met on a bus.
What, the bus of destiny.
Think about how different your lives both would be. 100%. You guys own a business together. Think about how different your life would be if one of you decided to leave a day later. And that could have been because the day before we left, went back in time. I punched Tom in the arm, and he goes, oh, I got to give my arm a day to rest. He flies out. He takes a bus 2 days later out. You know what Tom's doing right now? He's in his room crying because he's missing something in his life, and it's you, Ryan.
Yeah.
That's a different life. So
I could have been in the butterfly.
That's very much butterfly.
So, not Ashton Kutcher.
So I have a question because words have been thrown around. What is the difference between fate and destiny?
If I could turn back time.
Sorry. See, I have that question on here, too. But and first, before we get into that, I want to talk about something real quick.
Okay.
What do we consider to be divine?
So I think the definition, textbook definition of divine intervention comes right here. Let me tell you.
From Tom's cell phone.
From my cell phone.
Talking to the microphone, too, so people can actually hear you when you talk.
You know what divine intervention is?
We're waiting.
He's got it.
I think so.
You think so?
That means that God came down from heaven and stopped the bullets?
That's right. That's exactly what it means. God came down from heaven and stopped these motherfucking bullets.
So that's what divine intervention means right there.
Okay. It means we have a copyright infringement on our podcast.
And then, no, it was only 10 seconds. So he came down and he stopped those motherfucking bullets.
Okay. So you're still saying that divine is from God.
From God. I think it takes a belief in God to have divine intervention. Otherwise, that's like karmic intervention.
Okay, but do you see the fallacy in that, where if your God is different from Bill's God?
So that's kind of funny.
From my God. God itself is an ambiguous term, right?
Right.
So therefore, what would be the definition of divine if we all have a different source for divine?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter who your God is. If you're going to attribute it to your God, that would be, in that case, divine.
Okay, but real quick, I know we were dipping into this with the angel hair pasta. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about guardian angels, which I think very much goes into what we're talking about now. So
it's not really a spoiler alert. It's just kind of an alert, because I didn't know we were talking about that.
That's what angel hair pasta was for. I mean, if you want to talk about divine intervention, and it's funny when I say tell the story about the screaming in my ear, people's like, oh, you're a guardian angel. So there you want to talk about if having a guardian angel, and it's not so much fate at that point.
Guardian. Sounds like you're saying gardening.
Gardening snake.
I want a gardening angel.
Hey, look at my hedges. So, but yeah. When you say
that corn looks
guardian
droopy.
Angel, in a sense, could be. Assuming there is one, let's just say there is a guardian angel right now. Tom, a guardian angel is watching you eat those noodles and saying, "I kind of wish he'd slow down because he's really."
It's a noodle.
He's pushing so close to choking.
Because he's going to choke, and that could be divine intervention as well. So when somebody says, "I'm your guardian angel, Tom, and I don't want you to leave tomorrow. I want you to get on the bus today so you can meet Ryan, because I'm your guardian angel. I'm not God. I work for him. I've never met him. He signs my paycheck. I don't know who God is, actually, ever. He's never at the Christmas parties. But guess what? I'm going to take care of you, Tom." So that could be different. So when you say God is it, that's just like saying Jeff Bezos is the one who's actually sent you your Amazon Prime package.
Yeah, but that's the same line of thinking. Angels come from God.
Do they, though? So, if you think of spirits, angels and demons and everything, like, they all come from the original same source, right? If you believe in a Christian
fantasy?
Well, it could be. That's what I'm saying. Christian hierarchy, right? Where angels and demons were all angels, and then there was a rebellion, and God sent them, the demons, to hell, whatever.
Yep.
Right? And whether you believe they're angels or demons or aliens or just bullshit, it still comes down to the concept of, let's say there's a tornado, right? And this tornado goes through this town and it kills half the people in the town, right? And the other half say, oh, we were all saved by divine intervention because it killed everybody else, right? That proves something here. And Epicurus, he's a philosopher from a long time ago, talked about that when you look at situations like that, if God wants to get rid of all pain in the world and doesn't, it means that he's not all-powerful and can't do that.
Or he doesn't want to.
Yeah,
or
religiously, doesn't that doesn't mean that.
But it does actually make sense when you keep seeing these right-wing these preachers on air, right-wing personalities that are totally anti-COVID and spreading the word of, and then they keep dying of COVID. That makes me want to believe in a God. And I'm
that
an
seems
atheist.
Like divine intervention.
That's divine intervention.
That's like a mute button.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like you said, he's either all-powerful, not all-powerful, Or he just doesn't give a shit about certain
people.
I think he has a sense of humor, period.
Well, see, and that leads to me the concept of the retired God, right? Where God, whatever it is, created the universe and just said, okay.
I'm 64 and a half.
I did my work. It's up to you guys to behave the way you should, right? So when it comes to that concept of now we're looking at fate versus destiny versus coincidence, right? And two of those, fate and destiny, come from a higher source, while coincidence is just interaction based on all the interactions that we could possibly have.
Like throwing up a deck of cards and seeing which one you happen to get.
Well, right. See,
right.
Fate,
if you do that 10 times, you're about to get all four jacks.
See, in my definition, fate is you will end up with cards on the floor. Destiny is taking out cards or putting in cards or taping a quarter to the back of a card before you throw them. Does that make sense? Destiny is what you can do to control your fate. Fate is where you're destined to end up.
I want to go back to this God retired thing real quick. I actually have a little expanded theory on that. I think God retired, and then Henry Winkler convinced him to get a reverse mortgage on the earth, and that's why it's falling apart.
The Fonz
so
could sell me on anything.
Horrifically. That's just it. He's living off retirement, reverse mortgage on the earth. Every day a little bit more depreciation comes against the earth, and that's why it's falling apart. All right, so go back to what you were saying. Sorry.
Well, what you were saying about cards and quarters, right? It's kind of like putting a matchbook underneath the table like at a pool table, right? Mm-hmm. We know as God who put the matchbook underneath there that certain things are going to roll a certain way, right? The people who are playing don't know that. So if they continue on their same path to play this game of pool and everything is off, to them, is it something that they're just having a bad game or is it something that we're interfering with to know?
See, and that's the thing. I think it takes outside influences during those processes that defines how it goes to you. That's the definition between kismet or luck or then destiny and fate.
Exactly.
So, like, I wanted to bring that up because I feel like it doesn't always have to be just religious. I kind of feel like anytime we have talked about somebody going about their life and then suddenly their life changes extremely because they got abducted by aliens, on that same level, that could totally be divine intervention. I mean, divinity is in something we half believe in that would be more powerful than us that comes down and without our knowledge or asking changes our life.
So I think you're kind of in a sense saying divine intervention is vague in interpretation, how people want to take it.
Right. And the way I wanted to really frame that is you really can only say something is divine intervention or luck and how you call it post whatever happened. Like, it is always looking back retrospectively and saying, how did I feel about that in my mind? What were the circumstances around it? Did I get cheated or did I do something to affect that outcome?
Well, in that sense, can an atheist be involved in divine intervention?
Absolutely.
And are there
if they don't believe in it?
Well, they don't believe in a God.
But it's interpretation of.
But if they believe in aliens or they believe in anything else. And here's the other thing. So I wanted to bring up most of the accounts that I looked up when I was researching this either come from divine intervention, like I said, from people who are inclined to believe it because they're religious, or people who are coming up. And the most interesting cases of divine intervention that I found were militarily interesting because they were things like the War of 1812, where like a huge unexpected tornado and monsoon pretty much came through Washington, D.C. and saved us in Washington, D.C. from the British just burning everything down. It was already on fire, like in the middle of it. And then out of nowhere, we got this really crazy weather that doesn't repeat itself in Washington, D.C. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, that reminds me of another story here. I have a buddy of mine who's in the military who, while he was in Afghanistan, he was walking down the road with a bunch of people and saw a chicken, like a baby chicken, mm-hmm. on the ground. And as he went down to pick it up, his helmet moved and a sniper shot and hit his corner of his helmet and it bounced off onto the ground. If he didn't bend over and his helmet didn't slide down, he would have been hit directly in the face.
Holy chicken.
And so I would start
kept that chicken.
So, but if I was now, but hold on,
he bronzed.
I would start every story with, "Why did the chicken cross the road?" And then when people go, "Why?" He goes, "So I didn't get shot in the fucking
eye." Save my life.
That's what would be. That's how you tell that story.
See, and that's on the vein of divine intervention stories from the religious. That's like the whole car went off the ravine and nobody saw it. And then the next passersby saw a naked woman or a dead woman or a screaming woman. And then you go down there and you find the baby alive and the mom's been dead for 18 hours.
There was just who did they hear?
So now you're talking... Sorry. Now you're talking about crisis apparitions.
Okay, so there was just a shooting at the mall here in Boise, what, a month and a half ago? Mm-hmm. There was a girl we both know that she goes, oh, I was on my way there, and then something happened, and I couldn't go, and I was, like, driving there, and then by the time I got there, I couldn't get to the mall because it was a shooting. She goes, and she's obviously thinking divine intervention, like somebody didn't want me to get into that mall that one time. All right, so let's just say that's true. Somebody, divine intervention's like, hey, listen, you, I like you enough to make you not go to the mall. The four people who got shot, fuck them. I'm not going to stop them. So why is divine intervention for one person? Let's just say that's true. I'm not saying it is true. We all get stuck like, I can't find my keys. I was late today. Why? Oh, God didn't want me to show up to work on time. It's not that way. It's just one of those things. You were like, yeah. Life happens and things happen. So to assume that God's the reason why, or a guardian angel or whatever it is, didn't, or Bob Divine, whoever that is, who's stepping in and that's his job, I stop people from getting shot. Why her and why no one else? Because why did the other person? Because they weren't bad people.
It's perception. Like, she's looking back and saying, this is how it affected me. I'm putting a magnitude on what could have affected me. So there's a magnitude at the end.
So let's just, no, I'm not saying perception. I'm saying if divine intervention was 100% a thing, we know it was.
Then we wouldn't need cops or anything.
Well, that's just it. So why? If it is a thing for sure, then why does things... bad things happen to good people.
Because
that goes back to
Epicurus. I'm an 8 guardian angel, but I was on my lunch hour.
Divine intervention, that's the other thing I was going to say. It doesn't necessarily have to be good. Like, if you look at any case of these divine interventions that I was bringing up from military history, it's only good for the side that it went well for. The other side, that was a huge
catastrophe. So if you're walking down the road and you step in dog crap, are you going to go, well, divine intervention?
Only if it stops them from getting hit by a car.
I a friend of mine in high school, Damien Frisbee, who's a cop somewhere in near Reno.
Damien, like the
Damien Frisbee. Damien. We actually call him that, Damien. Damien Frisbee. And
Damien,
we were in high school.
The name of the kid of the Omen.
Yeah, I kicked the back of his leg. I was like trying to give him a flat tire and I was kicking him and he stopped for a second when he turned around and a giant bird shit landed where he would have been walking. And we joked about that, like, well, that was a sign of God. That was this, like, it was a huge bird shit. Like, he would have had to have gone home. I'm surprised that wasn't a pterodactyl up there. And
Peter Dactyl.
He would have. Like, that would have ruined his day.
Well,
and everybody joked about, well, that was divine intervention. Look at that. I was just being a dick and kicking. So now, if you want to say, well, that was divine intervention, Bill was made by an angel.
Well, that's the thing. It's a joke because the magnitude of that is I got shat on versus I got shot in the mall. Like, if what if divine intervention is happening to us all the time and we don't realize just because we're so self-centered that we're I almost died and I almost got in a car wreck.
So you say divine intervention. The girl who didn't make it to the mall in time and survived. And she goes, oh, divine intervention. Do you think the person who got shot at the mall, one of the people who was dying on the floor next to the Hot Pocket or Hot Topic or whatever, was going, oh,
this is
divine. She goes, oh,
hell.
divine intervention.
So
and
not to be morbid or take anything away from her heroic actions, but she made moves toward the shooter. That makes it more of a decision thing. That's more of a destiny than a divine intervention. That's something she controlled the actions of rather than something that is out of your control affected the outcome. That's totally not divine intervention.
I'm going to let Ryan go because you guys have been commandeering the conversation for a minute.
Well, because we have fucking things to say. That's
I have feelings.
Hey, that was divine intervention.
You know what? That was
this
divine intervention.
Was divine intervention.
Us talking.
You're welcome.
And it's not often that I can actually out-talk Ryan.
True.
About something. Usually Ryan just goes and I just look at him like a 5-year-old and he's like David Blaine doing street
Shut
magic.
Up.
All right, go.
So I just have two things. One, I want to tell a story about bird shit.
He has five things, but go.
My sister, now this could be on the edge of karma, if you will. On the edge of karma, if you will. I had just made a sandwich and I was very proud of this sandwich. And my sister, being a smartass, decided that she was going to take it and eat it herself. We were sitting outside, and she was getting ready to eat the sandwich, and a bird flew overhead and shit in her mouth as she went to eat the sandwich. Now,
was the sandwich spared?
No. It was worth it, though.
No.
So, like, is that divine intervention? And if so, which side am I rooting for?
I'm going to bring this up, but and we don't need to go in there now, but karma.
That's what I just said.
It's karma.
I think karma is just a divine sense of humor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Karma, yeah, it's a divine intervention's ugly cousin.
Irony is
a beautiful question,
actually.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking a lot about divine intervention. Are there other types of intervention?
And that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, we're here to talk to you about your Mountain Dew drinking, Ryan. It's an intervention.
Not that kind of intervention.
Listen, we're worried about you. And
your look behind you. Your parents are here.
Yellow five. And the
they wouldn't be in
count.
The same room together. So that's another thing. Like, if it is divine, I mean, is it like...
Sublime.
What?
Sublime intervention.
No,
sublime.
The divinal intervention.
And that's another
they
thing
themselves.
I want to talk about, too. So let's go into your question first. So what happens if we were going to go do something and we really wanted to do it, but instead we got Taco Bell and then we got diarrhea? So is that like divine intervention from
or just
the
bad
devil?
Life choices?
Oh, right.
Well, it's the thing.
You got
did
the
you
runs
get,
at the border?
Did you get diarrhea because you didn't wash your hands, or did you get diarrhea because of something that was out of your control? And then did
or,
that diarrhea cause
you
to miss a fatal car accident? Like, that's the thing. If it just caused you to have diarrhea and then you went home for the rest of the day, that's not divine intervention.
Okay,
if you, like,
okay, hold on. Let's
didn't
say
get
you
on
got,
your plane and
you
then that
Taco
plane
Bell.
Wrecked and everybody
exactly.
else died, that
exactly.
might be divine intervention.
That's like what's that movie? Final Destination 12?
And that's what I'm saying. To me, it's all about perception, looking at it from the past, and the magnitude of what happened.
Hindsight.
Exactly.
So that brings my other question. Subliminal or sublime intervention, where we have all these interactions happening to us every day, but because we're so unaware of them, they don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right? It's like when people used to say bad things happen in threes. Right? Maybe they said bad things happened in tenths, but they just got tired of counting how many things were happening to them.
They had no attention span to count to 10.
Right. So, back to the whole concept of where does divine come from? Is it God? Is it just an outside influence that we have no control over? Is it...
John Water movies.
Yes.
Well, here's a question. So the second and the biggest one, when you look up like military stuff, the biggest one that probably comes up because it was named divine intervention wind is kamikaze. And the kamikaze winds are meant because when Kublai Khan went over there and tried to invade Japan from mainland China, he pretty much just got stymied by waiting around too long and getting caught up in a couple of typhoons a few years apart. He tried this once with 30,000 people, came back with like 16,000. Then he tried again with like 150,000 people and came back with like 15,000. It was horrendous. And he would have marched all the way over Japan, taking it all out. And you know what really happened? He just got screwed by fate, by, you know, they called it divine intervention. They called it kamikaze, the divine winds, to the point where Japan was like, even their holy people were like, I don't know what the hell happened. Let's just say it was God. But at that point, weren't their leaders gods? So who's divine at that point?
I feel like we contribute things like to God when we have no other rational explanation for them. Because it gives us something to believe in when things are difficult.
And that's why divine intervention exists, I think. It's a psychological trick that we use to say that, look, either I'm going to suggest to myself that what I believe in is right, or I'm going to have to just completely accept and digest the fact that everything is completely chance and we are just fucking floating around on a rock.
There's the Bible Belt where every time something bad happens, they said, well, it's just the will of God. God wanted this to happen. People's homes get wiped out from a tornado, and they go, well, God hated my house.
Well, God hated the Mongols then, I guess. You know, yeah. And that's what, did God hate the guy who died in the car wreck, or did God hate the person who died in the shootings?
Did God hate that burrito El Grande that you ate at Taco Bell and then rushed it through your body?
But why does it always have to be? So the second thing I was actually going to bring up is the story of divine intervention, because I feel like it could fit the same way. Is I was waking up on a random Monday morning after just normal life, and I got a call that my mom had died in a car wreck. And that...
Wow, way to bring the story down, Tom.
Right, but that's the thing. It was out of my control. It happened nonsensically. It happened momentarily. It completely changed everything around it to a point where, like, it was just void after that. So if that doesn't count as something that comes in and is an intervention in your life, and I can't put a reason on that except for something divine decided that was right, there's no other definition for that except for divine intervention. As sad as that is, well, it doesn't have to be good to be divine intervention.
And I'll go with the one and two. Well, that's life. Like, as much as me saying that's just fate and way things happen, the reality is I'm saying that's life. So I want to come back to my whole thing before this ends. I want to talk a little bit about my story about it, driving down the road and having the screaming in my ear and things like that. So I believe the mind is a very wonderful and amazing and misunderstood thing. Not only misunderstood, we just don't even, we can't even.
Well, it's not fathom. Misunderstood, it's just not understood.
So we just, like, there's the things that happen to the mind that we don't understand. And it's the same way that when we are reminded of a certain time and we look at our watch and it's the exact time. Or there's certain things, like when you're sleeping and you know I have to get up at 6 and you wake up at 6. Like, your mind is kind of crazy that way. And your mind knows certain things. You're walking down the road, you're in a daze, and then suddenly you go, oh, wait. And you look up and you're right where you're supposed to be because your mind was kind of running the background. It's kind of the way that apps run background on your phone. I think your mind's always running the background of things. So now I'm going to say, going back to that drive where I heard something scream in my ear, I had done that drive many times. And I think our mind's GPS and our mind's clock and mind's the mathematics of our minds is a lot stronger than we can even fathom. So in my mind, I had driven that so many times, my mind knew where I was. We've been driving for so many. This, you've been going this miles an hour. I know in my mind, it's time for you to turn. And that's why it screamed in my head. Now people are going to say, well, come on. Well, you know what? I don't know.
Are you but sure that it was your name that you heard, or was it just...
I heard somebody scream Bill in my ear loud. There's two times in my life I've heard somebody say my name in my ear. One time I was sleeping, and one time I was in this building on the fifth floor when I had locked the door that one time. Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry. I was playing with my thermostat, and I heard somebody whisper in my ear, Bill. And I felt breath from that. And, of course, psychological aspect, like tactile hallucination is a very wonderful thing. When you're lying there and you feel somebody touch your leg,
would it have taken anything away from your story if it had woken you up and had the same result, but it wasn't your name that you heard screamed? Would it be weirder? What do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, if they screamed like, Raul, and I was like, wait, there's somebody in this car.
Or what if you had just been going straight and we're still going straight and we're woken up?
Yeah. So,
but I was going straight. It was a huge long. It's a very long straightaway with the first turn. My mind knew it clicked the minutes, and it goes, "We drive this far before we turn." Holy shit! You're asleep.
See,
we're about ready
to turn.
I don't
think that's true.
But what
though?
If you weren't about to turn? What if you still had 30 miles of
and
straight?
Why wouldn't it yell "turn" instead of "Bill"?
And not only
and
that,
no, it yelled Bill.
Half of that time that
oh.
Or just,
well, you don't do that. It's not like when you're okay. So, like Ryan, you're driving with somebody, and they're on their phone.
Yeah.
And they're paying, and you're the passenger seat. And you don't scream the direction or whatever.
I do too.
You go,
you've heard me do it.
Go,
I've
hey.
Yelled stop. I've yelled red light. Yep. I've yelled turn.
Turn is vague. I could have turned the wrong way. you would go, concrete barrier.
No, I would go,
stoplight. You go, stoplight.
I'd say, wake up.
You don't go, hit your brakes.
Actually,
you go, you go, stoplight.
I don't know. We've been on road trips together. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I remember that one time that we were both driving to Missouri, or no, Chicago, right? Do you remember? In a little white truck.
Yeah.
She's not here anymore.
Do you think... She's right here. Okay. Do you remember anything strange happening from that trip?
No, not really.
When I roofied you?
Well,
yeah,
I remember...
He spent most of the time sleeping. I had liberties. We got there just fine.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't think that there was anything crazy about that.
I think the one thing that was divine intervention about that trip was running out of gas 10 feet away from the state line and having to wait for a state trooper to come 5 hours because they wouldn't cross jurisdiction to come get us.
Right.
Pain in the ass.
Well, I mean, I've run out of gas pulling into a gas station. Like, I plup, and rolled in. So do you go divine intervention, or I just got lucky, or is that karma, or is it just because it was an angel?
So,
or was it like, what is it? Like, so I go, God liked me today, or my guardian angel was on my side, or divine intervention, one of this happened, or karma happened because I was good to an old lady on Wednesday, and now Friday, karma let me ghost into a gas station and make it alive. Like, which one do you want to lean on? Which one makes you feel better? And it could be that. With the same time where people are like, well, God hated my house and now it's gone. But God has knows what the big plan is, that must be a part of it. Or is it like divine intervention that my neighbor's house didn't get blown down? Or is it just, God, I'm a terrible person and my house is gone because just, or is it just a tornado came through?
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Like, let's say that you buy some of these cookies, right? And then you give a cookie away and that person enjoys it, but they choke to death on it, right? Is that divine intervention? Is that...
No, that's just you need to stop putting glue in cookies because that makes you an asshole. What I thought was really funny, the one person that I read about that I actually had a little bit of respect for that I found was kind of a contemporary character who's talked about divine intervention was actually Dale Earnhardt, and he said this recently. He was talking about when he had wrecked, he was in a warm-up lap, and he wrecked and slammed to the wall, and his car caught fire, which is really reminiscent of how his dad died. He said that he had kind of blacked out. He had managed to get his seatbelt off. He didn't know, like, he wasn't able to get out of the car. And as he started leaning forward, he swears somebody pulled him up from his armpits and helped pull him out of that car and then drop him to the ground. To the point where, right afterwards, he was asking his people when they got him to the hospital, who helped me out of that car? And I don't believe you that nobody did.
He saw one foot of, he saw one line of footsteps.
Right.
And then he said...
So to this day, he's attributing it to his father... But, like, is that a ghost? Is that an angel? Well, is that divine intervention?
That goes back to crisis apparitions, too, right?
It's the blood leaving your brain.
Or is it just the body's adrenaline?
Well, and that's the thing. Other people saw him crawl out of there. But he's like, I didn't crawl out of there. I was helped out of there.
Well, there's countless songs about that. Like the Ride with Private Malone song about the guy who buys this Corvette in an old lady's garage. And he fixes it all up. And he's driving it and gets into a car wreck. And he finds that... there was a soldier that people saw pull him out of this, and it turned out that that was the original owner of the car who died in World War II.
And colloquially, these stories exist. Like, they're out there. But do you think that this is something that is actually happening, that, or is it something that we have to attribute because we have to feel like there's... like we give this story's importance because we want to feel like there's something looking out for us in the end. Because it would suck to just have all this just be happenstance, and that's it.
But does it suck? Because
do guardian angels watch you shower?
Of course,
Santa. Because
you might fall in the shower.
What if you? What when you poop? Well, yeah. Like if I was a ghost, I'd be like, I'm not going to pretend like if I wouldn't occasionally watch a girl shower. I'd be like, hey, but also be like, right, yeah, hey, when you go to work, when you go to work, can you leave Netflix on? Like that'd be me as a ghost. But also like, if someone's pooping, I'm gone.
There's all kinds of food in the sink and.
What's wrong with watching a girl shower if you're a ghost? Why wouldn't you? You're so goddamn bored as it is. Plus, you probably died 100 years ago when an ankle gave you a boner, and now it's just like some girl walking around like in a shower, full on. Like this is great. She didn't have scabies. Like, yeah.
As we're kind of wrapping up to an end point on this one,
let's end it on that, on scabies,
ectoplasm.
What are our kind of final thoughts on divine intervention?
I think it's bunk.
Good. I think that it really just depends. We define that stuff afterwards.
That's a vague.
You want to talk? I don't think that divine intervention really exists. I think that it's something that we attribute, just like we attribute luck. Okay. And we can only define
that's
a cop out.
Anyway, give a non-cop out answer there, Ryan.
So to me, divine intervention is the perception of our own rationality for faith in everyday circumstance. Like, if we believe that there's someone out there watching over us, like what you talked about, and something bad happens to us, but we make it through, we want to think that there's someone there holding our hand rather than we just got lucky. Because if we just got lucky, that takes away faith from a bigger scheme of things.
Then it becomes an odds game.
Yeah. And so, therefore, divine intervention, in my opinion, is our faith contributed to outside influence.
Tanya, do you have a non-cop-out answer? Do you want a real answer?
I could have written that in crayon if you wanted to know what I meant by that.
I don't know if you're going to like my answer.
Yeah, whatever. Go.
I feel like there is nothing controlling anything and everything just happens. We feel like we need to pin titles and names and whatever on things to make us be able to understand them better and feel better about our lives and how they're going. I really honestly feel like we're just a bunch of ants on this big hill, and what happens to us happens to us. And that's genuinely...
I think that's a good answer, though.
How I feel.
We're over-evolved monkeys making up our gods.
Isn't that exactly what all three of us said?
Yeah.
No, you guys are just like, I don't know, it is what it is, whatever.
We're just...
You said ants.
We're under-evolved monkeys.
I find the beauty in the fact that everything just happens because it happened. Because anything made it happen.
I'm going to end on this story. I had one kind of real high school girlfriend, a girl that I dated for a long time. And we would drive out to the beach and we'd be we're going to be together forever. And this is our life. It was great. And her parents were like really cool about it. Like my mom had moved away and kind of left me on my own. And then I was like, her family was like, come live here. Like, you guys should just talk about getting married. And like, oh my God, this is the girl I'm going to be with forever. This is really, really cool. And then we didn't work out. And then 10 years ago on Facebook, she was posting stuff, anti-Muslim stuff, because the guy she married, she was like, Muslims are terrible. And
crap.
Yeah. So I do believe in divine intervention, because if we would have ended up together.
Wow, so your whole concept for divine intervention is a...
I dated a racist. and we broke up. So that right there is 100%. And she's a realtor. And she posts on her realtor site, like, just hate. Anyway, so yeah, that's my story. So with that, does anybody else have anything they want to add?
I do, and it's our next podcast, which will be very exciting. We're doing our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
We're doing a very special version of Eat, Drink, and Be Scary. Share all the details for you for the episode, but I mean, obviously you'll see the title in the image, but it's gonna be a really fun debate, if you will.
Yeah, behave yourselves. We're gonna send Dead Bill to watch you with Santa.
It's gonna be a little different format, which will be kind of fun. I'm very excited about this one. So anyway, so that's it. Anyone else have anything you want to add to this one, to our divine intervention?
Well, unless something stopped you from listening to this podcast.
Oh, which would be what?
Probably.
The battery went out on your phone? All right. Well, with that, we're glad that we're back. We're glad that you're listening. You should subscribe. You should tell your friends. You should reach out to us if you have ideas for the show.
Or examples of anything that's ever happened to you about the topic that we're talking
about. Yeah, reach out. Find us on the Instagram or the Facebook.
Eat, Drink, Be Scary podcast on Instagram.
Yeah. And also just, subscribe, follow, rate us. I don't know all that stuff. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Everybody else say goodnight.
Goodnight.
All right. We'll see you guys. See you next time. Bye.